Welcome, I'm Millie Tanner, and today we're going to talk about what it's like to be a new mom. And I have a very special guest with me. I have Starla Lawrence with me. Welcome, Starla.
Thank you.
We're so happy that you're here today. And Starla has headed up our Square One ministry at Grace Community Church for how long, Starla?
Well, we started in September of 2014, so wow. We're in our seventh year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the struggles of being a new mom and some of the joys of being a new mom. Starla, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family before
sure.
we start?
I sure will. I am married to Scott. We are going to celebrate 43 years of marriage in a couple of weeks here, which it has flown by in such a fun way. We have four daughters, three of whom are married and have children, and our youngest is single. She's 23, but our eldest will actually turn 40 this year, so we've been at this for a while.
Great.
So yeah, that's our family. And we have seven grandkids.
That's wonderful. So you're a mom and a grandmother. Mm-hmm. And Starla is the perfect person to talk to us today about all things about being a new mom. Tell us about Square One.
Square One is a specific ministry for first-time moms and their newborns, and we say roughly 6 months and under. So we have a six-week class, and those moms bring their babies with them. They come, and we talk about a different topic every week. Our moms are all different ages. Our youngest mom we've ever had was 17, and we had a mom who was 39. But the commonality is they're all starting on that road to motherhood for the very first time.
That's why we call it Square One.
That's right. You always start, we say, at Square One when you're getting ready to have a baby. No matter how much you've Googled or how much you think you know, you start at the beginning.
This is a great ministry, and I get to come and speak every semester at one of your meetings and do just mental health and postpartum depression. And it's just such a wonderful group of women. There's a lot of mentors that help with this program, and so it's a really great ministry.
It is a lot of fun because we see moms at their very beginning. They're very excited. Sometimes we have moms who come with a two-week-old, and they are just starting out. They're all exhausted. They're all afraid. They're all joyful. They're all emotional, and we get to walk that road, and it's really just a ministry of encouragement. We remember, all of us remember what it was like, all of us who serve in this ministry, what it was like when we had our first baby, and the delights, but also just how terrifying it was. So we get to be with them and talk about the things that affect them. We also get to connect them to one another, and that's such a joy because still our groups, many, many of our groups will still meet for play dates or birthday parties, and they have become fast friends from just that season of life.
It really connects you to those other moms.
It really does.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that you see first-time moms struggling?
Well, I think sometimes that struggle is not really very evident because moms today have a lot of information available to them. So they're kind of thinking they should have it all together. But really a baby changes everything in their life. It changes their view of themselves. It changes the amount of rest and care they can give to themselves. If they're married, it changes their marriage completely. I think it's just such a steep learning curve, and you really sometimes wonder, am I going to be able to do this? And so every week we tell them, you can do this, and we encourage them. It's just a ministry of encouraging and cheering them on.
I think every new mom has that thought, can I do this? Mm-hmm. Am I up to the challenge? Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying is that having people come alongside you who can support you and say, yes, you can do this, and we're going to help you.
Right. I remember my first baby. Scott was an Air Force pilot, and we were stationed in Germany in a very rural part of the country. So we were far from home, very far from home. And other Air Force wives came alongside me. And I think, Millie, had they not, even though I had a wonderful example of my mom was a fabulous mother, and I learned so much just by watching her. But had I been all alone in that German countryside, I think I would have gone under, because the guys, the squadron had to deploy. Scott was gone a lot. And I was capable, but I really was not sure I would make it without that encouragement. So they kind of were my square one, I think, in the beginning.
That's great. I think we can feel very alone during that time. Mm-hmm. We can feel very overwhelmed during that time. What are some of the other feelings that you see?
I think that moms go into motherhood for the very first time thinking, this will be the most wonderful time of my entire life. Because they've heard that and they've read that. And it will be a wonderful time, but there will be the highs and the lows that they're really not ready for sometimes. And again, I think there's just a lot of misconceptions that everything will be beautiful about being a mom. And it is beautiful, but we kind of call it in our class the beautiful hard, because it's both of those.
A lot of expectations. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of shoulds on ourselves, that this should be wonderful, this should be beautiful, I should be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think when we're not and reality sets in, there's a lot of guilt.
Absolutely.
In that.
Absolutely. And I think too, there's a lot of isolation. Certainly, we've seen that during the pandemic. You know, we've had two classes now that have become pregnant and become new moms during a pandemic. And there's been a lot of difficulty that's been piled on top of the other challenges of motherhood because of that. But even when you're not in a pandemic, it can tend to be so isolating when you have a new baby. It's challenging to get out of the house with the baby and the things that you need. And so sometimes you just don't go. And people will often say, call me if you need me. But you're not going to really do that if you feel isolated.
Yes. And asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the biggest lessons I learned having twins.
Right.
Is that you have to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important part that grew me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It also actually helped me not feel so alone and feel so isolated.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point, because you get to a point where you have to ask for help for yourself, not just for your baby. Because you're there helping your baby, and oftentimes you're not really taking care of yourself. And then if you're married, you also have a man in the house who's very worried about both of you. His whole life has changed. He's worried what his life will look like now with a baby, and he wants to help, but many times he's not really aware of how he can help the most.
How do you see marriages being affected when a newborn is brought home?
Wow. In every way possible. I would say before it was the two of you, even if you were pregnant and carried that baby for 9 months before, you could pretty much take care of yourself and your spouse. And now the demands of a baby go right to the front of the line. So oftentimes I think there's a lot of challenges to really be connecting. A new mom needs connection in just about every way possible. She needs to connect with people. She needs to connect with other moms. She needs to connect with her family members, extended family and friends that are trustworthy and care for her. And she really needs connection with her husband. But it's a very fragile connection that we see during that newborn phase.
I think men also, in general, don't know how to help. And I know that's a generalization, but they feel very incapable mm-hmm. of doing what needs to be done. They're just not sure
right.
how to jump in.
That's absolutely true. And I think, too, there's also the double standard of a mom who she, maybe even if she hasn't known a lot about babies before she had her own, she's learned really quickly since that baby's come. And so it's just almost, she almost feels more comfortable doing everything herself. And we always say, let your husband help you. He may not have ever held a baby. That was true for my husband. When we had our first baby, my husband had never even held a baby. But when we had another baby a year and a half later, I began to let him in more because I absolutely needed him. And he didn't do things quite the way I did. He did it like a dad. And we always say, your baby needs a mom and a dad. Your baby doesn't need two moms.
So trying to not be critical of the way dad does it,
yes.
just seeing it as it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think for the most part, dads want some advice or some mm-hmm. guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But if we as moms can do that in a loving way,
mm-hmm.
which takes emotional energy,
yes.
which we're running short on if we have newborns, but to try to be patient mm-hmm. with each other in the marriage.
And it can be such a sweet thing to see your husband as a brand new dad learn some of those things and be so, there's a tenderness that comes about. And so you have to step aside a little bit and let him practice just like you've practiced since the baby came.
That's a great point. Men also want to feel useful.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel productive. They want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the majority of men really want to please their wives.
Mm-hmm.
And so just knowing that that's a kind of fine line that we're walking is we want things done well for the baby,
mm-hmm.
but we also want to encourage our husbands to try.
Right. One of, you know, I work with a team of volunteers, which makes it so sweet because every single mom is so different. And I say in each of our sessions, we're going to talk about the most important things, and we're going to give you some ideas. But I say there's a lot of just personal preferences that you're going to figure out along the way, whether you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom, whether you use cloth diapers or disposables, whether you bottle feed or breastfeed. Those are personal preferences, and I'll say our team here today, we've all done it differently, and you can figure out your own way. But the things we are going to talk about are going to be the things that are the main things. And one of our mentors has said she has grown three grown children, and she said she really didn't let her husband help until her children were maybe in elementary school. And then she needed him, and he really didn't know how to help or want to help. So that was a challenge for them. And she says to the moms that come to Square One, let your husband start out learning. It's good for him, it's good for you, and it's good for your child.
That's great. I think one thing that is hard sometimes is we put a lot of pressure on ourselves that mothering should be natural,
mm-hmm.
that mothering should be easy. I should just be good at this. And you speak a lot to that
mm-hmm.
in Square One.
We do. I think the biggest thing I think about with those new moms, they come in and we joke about saying, we don't care what you wear. You don't even have to brush your teeth or brush your hair to come. Just come. And we really mean that, because they're so exhausted. If you can remember, one thing I would say to anyone listening, even if you don't have a baby or a new baby, try to think back and remember what it was like when you brought that new baby home. Remember what it was like in the nights when you were feeding that baby. That was 40 years ago for me, almost 40 years, and I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I think about my husband when he was a fighter pilot, and they would simulate prisoner of war camp. What they would do to break them down was they would not let them sleep. And he said they could go without food, they could go without comfort, but when you can't sleep, it breaks a person. And so many of our moms are just exhausted, and we remember what that was like.
So you also talk a lot about just well-being. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about mental health issues. And one of those that we cover every semester is postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. Mm-hmm. Why is that important to you to highlight that?
I think it's important because there's a lot of shame associated with that topic. There's guilt associated with a lot of motherhood, but there also is shame when you feel that you're not performing to standard. And not only are you not performing to standard, but you're just sad all the time, or you're not able to function. And that is one of the most devastating things for a mom. We've seen that in some of our moms. No one would choose to walk that road. No one signs up to say, oh, that's the kind of mom I'll be. And so we tell them that fortunately there are ways to help. And we want that message to go out loud and clear to those moms who really have a struggle with that.
So postpartum depression is different than baby blues. Most of us have experienced baby blues after the birth of a child. That's not unusual. The numbers can be anywhere from 70 to 80, 85% of us will experience that. It lasts about 2 weeks. A lot of it is hormone related, a lot of changes. You're usually, you know, transitioning from perhaps the hospital to home. And it lifts after a week, 2 weeks, and you start to feel more like yourself. Postpartum depression is different. It is lengthy. It lasts. We talk about length and severity. How long have you felt this way, and can you function? And functioning for a new mom is tricky when we talk about that, because you're not going to function like you once did, but you still need to be able to care for your baby and care for yourself. So we talk a lot about just what postpartum depression is. It can look like anger, irritability, sadness, of course, feeling like you want to cry or you are crying all the time. That feeling of worthlessness, guilt. Sometimes it's a fear of hurting your baby or hurting yourself. You're overly worried. Some of that fear and worry is more anxiety. You don't have a lot of energy. Perhaps physically you have headaches. You just do not feel well physically. You have trouble sleeping. And the one thing I say about this is that if you do get a chance to sleep and you can't, oftentimes that's something that we look at. Changes in appetite. Maybe you've stopped eating, or maybe you're eating way too much. So are there some significant changes in sleeping and eating? Trouble focusing, lack of motivation. Those are all characteristics that we see in postpartum. Anything you would add to that?
I think when we see a mom, sometimes until she hears you speak, Millie, she doesn't really identify that that's what her struggle is. She might think this is the way it is to be a new mom, and there's not really anything I can do about it. The moms that we see, that I would say that in their sharing, sometimes personally with me, they will tell me that they feel paralyzed to be able to function. And so yes, everything you've said is a good indicator. And I think the majority of our moms do have those baby blues, but the difference being that length and severity that you talked about with postpartum depression or anxiety.
And it's not that you're not doing a good job. It's not a lack of faith. This is not an issue where you just need to try harder or do more or pray harder. This is something that needs to be treated. Mm-hmm. And there are different ways you can treat postpartum. There is hope. People can feel better. And that may be through therapy. That may be through medicine. It may be through a combination of both. But anyone that's listening today, I would encourage you to go to your doctor and tell her or him how you're feeling. They can do a postpartum inventory, and where they just ask you a series of questions. And then you can have a good conversation with your physician about the treatment plan and how you can begin to feel better.
And I think I would add to that, Millie, that there is a postpartum depression screening that goes on. Pediatricians often do that, but many times it's very, very quick when you're at a pediatric appointment or possibly when you're visiting your OB-GYN and you're going back after the birth of your baby. Sometimes that is so sterile that you may not have a relationship with that provider or the person that's asking, who may be someone in the office, to be able to really answer truthfully. But I would say when you know that things are not the way that they would you would like them to be, and it's not just that you're feeling a little heavier than normal in your mood, keep searching for someone who will hear you. A counselor. We have great medical folks in this community, and I think most of them are very willing to help. But it's just such a quick screen that's done that I think you really just need to tell a trusted friend or a family member, call me, call Millie, call mm-hmm. somebody until you're able to talk to someone about what you're experiencing.
Absolutely. And this is not a failure on your part. And so there's so much guilt associated mm-hmm. with this. And if we can just lift that stigma today, mm-hmm. ask for help.
Right.
Tell somebody, hey, I'm not myself. Mm-hmm. I have these negative feelings. I have these persistent thoughts that are extremely negative, worst case scenario, kind of catastrophic thoughts. And that's not me. You know, maybe you've never experienced that, or maybe you've experienced that in the past and you're experiencing it again now after your child has been born. But know that you don't have to live with that, that there are things that can be done for you and we can help you.
That's absolutely true. And I think, too, that connection, if you have a new mom in your life and you're seeing that she's not herself, then ask her some of those questions. Help her to find a place, a safe place that she can go to, a trusted place that she can talk about this and talk about the options for helping her.
I think that's great. And you do such a good job at talking to your moms individually and saying, how are you? Mm-hmm. And really caring what the answer is. So we don't want to hear, I'm doing okay, or I'm fine.
That's right.
We want to know how you are doing. And so remember that if you're hearing this today and you're not a new mom, but there may be some new moms that are brought into your life for different reasons, look them in the eye and say, how are you? Mm-hmm. Are you experiencing any symptoms of depression? How long have you felt this way? Are you able to take care of your baby? Are you functioning? Those are great questions. And I even encourage people, if you are talking with someone and you really are sensing that they're struggling with postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, it's okay to say, do you have any intrusive thoughts of, you know, harming your baby or harming yourself? Best case scenario is someone's going to say, no, I don't have those. Great. But they may need somebody to ask that question, and they may be able to be honest with you and say, yes, I have. And that's so scary because they're not going to act on those. But it's so scary, and it creates disconnection between mom and baby. And that's one reason we take this very seriously, is that we don't want the mom to disconnect from mm-hmm. their baby because they are having this thought in their head that they might harm their mm-hmm. child. We want to work on that so that they can continue to connect and bond with their child.
Right. And I think, too, in talking to people in the community who come across new moms, hopefully most of us hearing this come across new moms, you're not going to have to be all the answers for that new moms, but you might be a gateway to helping her. Help all new moms, whether they're struggling with postpartum depression or anxiety. It's tough to be a new mom. Don't ever forget what that's like. Help her in ways that are really helpful. Don't just ask her, what can you do? Call me if you need help. let her know, I'm bringing you a meal. I'm going to come and stay with your baby while you go and take a nap. Or I'm going to come and clean your house. A new mom, it's hard for her to accept help sometimes, but it's a great way for her to learn to do that. And ultimately, it will be such a gift to her and to you as well.
And I remember when the boys were born, I had a lot of family help. My mom was very present and helped every day with the boys. But so many of the moms that I talk to don't have family.
That's right.
And so those are the moms specifically that I think as a church, mm-hmm. we can come alongside and say, you know, if your mom was here, she would be helping perhaps.
Right.
Maybe not, but we can help you mm-hmm. and we can stand in the gap.
Right. And we all know, those of us that have children, we know what it's never ending. It's literally every second of every day and every night that you're responsible. So for to just carry that load alongside her, maybe she just wants you to come and visit with her. Maybe that, you know, is something that's going to fill her cup. There are just so many ways. And if you have a real relationship with her, you're going to know what would be helpful to her. And if you don't know, ask her. I want to help you. I can do this, this, or this. What would be the most helpful?
Yeah, that's great to phrase it that way. I think self-care is really important, mm-hmm. and that is not something that new moms focus on because they're totally focused on their baby.
That's right.
What are some ways that you could encourage new moms to take care of themselves?
I always ask them, what if you knew that you had 3 hours today that you weren't planning to have, what would you do? And I think the saddest thing is that sometimes they just stare blankly and think, I have no idea what I like to do because everything's changed. But there's something that every new mom likes. Maybe she loves to read. Maybe she loves to go for a walk or jog. Maybe she loves to paint or do handwork of some sort. Maybe she loves to just sit outside and work in the garden or look at the grass. So I think that one thing is thinking about what is it that you love to do that isn't associated with your baby, and then maybe how can you weave that into your life? We say the same thing for married moms as well. You don't have to have an elaborate date night, but maybe you can arrange that you would just go somewhere for 2 hours and have a trusted friend or family member care for the baby, and don't talk about the baby. When you're out, talk about anything but the baby, because the baby is going to be talked about when you're at home all the time.
That's right. And we talk a lot about emotional energy, mm-hmm. and knowing that you only have so much emotional energy. If you think about that like a bank, you can make deposits into your emotional energy bank, which is what you just described. There are a lot of withdrawals from that emotional energy bank when you're a new mom. And what you don't want to do is go bankrupt.
Right.
Which is really easy to do because children in general are little emotional vampires. Mm-hmm. And they will take all the emotional energy that they can get. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make good decisions about how we use that emotional energy. And oftentimes I talk about grief, mm-hmm. and we don't associate grief with having a new baby.
That's right.
Those two things are opposite, but they're not. And you are grieving your old life.
Absolutely.
Your old marriage, your old body. So there's a lot of things that I think go in the loss category when you have a baby. Now, there's so many things that go in the gain category, but understanding that you're going through a huge transition, and anytime we're transitioning in life, there's grief in that. There's loss. Life doesn't look like maybe you thought it would, or it looks different. And so knowing that even that takes emotional energy as you process through what life looks like now. Some of the women in Square One had careers, and now they're going to choose to work part-time or let that career go for a period of time. It's a huge change in their life. So knowing that I can be sad and I can grieve during this time, and I can give myself permission to do that, it takes emotional energy. And the way that my emotional energy is distributed is going to look different as well.
That's right. I think, too, when I look at a 24-hour day, I'm convinced that one reason that God made our days 24 hours is for new moms. Because if you think about it, He could have made one day 6 months long, and the sun would have come up, and we would have been busy, 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 and then 6 months later, we would have had to sleep. Well, every day, the sun's going to come up, and the sun's going to go down. And while we may not get as much sleep and rest as we'd like to, at some point, everybody is going to close their eyes for a little bit of time, and then they're going to get a new start the next day. And I love that when it talks about God's mercies being new every day. That's exactly what He did for all of us, and certainly His eye was on a new mom during that time, I think.
Yeah, that's such a sweet thought. I can remember rocking the boys and just thinking, well, the sun's going to come up in just a little while.
Yes.
And it's a new day, and there's always hope in that new day.
There sure is. There sure is.
Well, it's been wonderful talking with you today. We could talk for a long time.
We could talk for a long time because it's such a joyful subject.
It is.
If you're peeking into somebody's life, just bring a little bit of joy and a little bit of encouragement because, man, that goes a long way to a new mom. So thanks, Millie, for helping us to highlight this ministry and to think about what it's like to be a brand new mom. It's hard, but it's going to all be worth it.
That's right. If one of the listeners would like to help with Square One, maybe be a mentor, or maybe would like to enroll in a Square One class, how do they do that?
We are sponsored. We're at Grace Community Church, and we are open to everyone in the community. We will have another session, a six-week session, in September, beginning in September, and you can go to the website for Grace Community Church, gcc.org/womensministry. You can scroll down to Square One and register. And again, it would be starting in September. So if you're pregnant now or know someone who is, that would be great. Again, babies can be very little. If they're tiny, we just tuck them back in the corner of our room. And then we generally say up until about 6 months, but I always say we don't card babies. So if you know someone who'll have a 7-month-old or an 8-month-old in September, we'd love for them to come. And they'll have a chance to meet other moms who are doing this all for the first time, too. So we'd love to have you.
That's great. You do one in the fall and one in the spring.
That's right.
And it is a really wonderful ministry. So fun.
It's so fun.
You know, it's loud.
It's loud. And we always say, you know what? Don't even worry about it because if it's not your baby, you don't care about it. So sometimes the babies tune up and sometimes they're very intently listening to what we're telling their moms.
That's
so
right.
Either way, it's a lot of fun.
That's right. So as always, if we can help you with anything, if maybe you've heard something today and you think you'd like to talk to a counselor, we'd be happy to help you at Solace Counseling and Anxiety Center. And we do thank Grace Community Church, who makes this podcast available. Thank you, Starla, for being here.
Thanks, Millie. It was a lot of fun to be here.